Welcome to the Gunsmith Show on Saturday, June 20th, here on 103.1 The Ticket. I'm John.
I'm Jake.
How are you, man? You having a good day so far?
So far, so good. Happy to be here.
Saturday morning early. Kind of shaking the cobwebs out of my head this morning.
That's right.
You know, it's the day after Juneteenth, you know, so we're relaxing.
There you go.
We're chilling.
Kind of an extended weekend for all the government employees.
Yeah. There you go. A long weekend. Might as well take Monday off, too. Just make it a four-day weekend, you know?
Why not?
And, I hate it when the banks close, though.
In 2 weeks, you get another long weekend for 4th of July.
I'll take it.
There you go.
At least there's... Well,
you should get one long weekend every month, I think.
Maybe we should call it, you know, shooting spree. No, we can't call it shooting spree.
No, you can't. No.
Maybe something like... something to do with guns. We should have a gun holiday.
Well, that's kind of the 4th of July.
Should be November 15th should be a gun holiday.
It's kind of Independence Day is a gun holiday.
I guess it is.
There because of guns.
You're right.
And
right.
Tea.
That's a good point.
Kind of tea in the harbor thing, right?
Yeah.
Eh.
Yeah. Salt water and tea don't mix, you know?
No.
No. But anyways.
No, tea in the Boston Harbor doesn't really.
No.
Chicago turns their rivers green for St. Patrick's Day, but other than that.
Who knows, man? I'm surprised the rivers don't run red in Chicago. But anyways, yeah. It is the Gunsmith Show here on Saturday morning, the 20th of June, man. So
already.
Is tomorrow the first day of summer?
Is it?
I think it is.
Oh, geez.
I think June 21st is the first day of summer.
I just feel
like
the weather's been the past 2 weeks and all the tornadoes.
Ups
it feels like
downs
summer already.
And hail, and every other day we're getting pelted with hail. It's a little crazy. Makes it hard on the paper targets at the range, you know. It's hard on the wheat fields right now, too, though. I drove to Chesning the other day. Every time I see those giant fields, no matter how many times you look across some fields, there's always deer in them. And I'm like, that's 476 yards. I'd have to raise my sight 27 inches above its backbone to pull the trigger to drop that buck, you know. And I'm like, and I'm quite, you know, I'm doing all this, and somebody else in the car is trying to have a conversation with me. I'm like, don't you realize – I'm calculating a deer kill right now,
right,
you know,
right.
So, but it's all good. Well, here on the Gunsmith Show, we're glad to have you this morning on The Ticket. So, you can always listen to the show streaming also on 103.1 The Ticket app.
Yeah. The app.
It's just perfect.
If you search that, it used to be,
US
103.1 app.
Yep.
Now it's. If you already have it on your phone,
it's
updated.
Automatically
it updated
changed.
For
yep.
me.
And it's just perfect. Yep. So everything's going good.
If you search it, 103.1 The Ticket, it pops up on your iOS store or your
app store.
Your app store, whatever yep. you use.
Yep. So this segment of the show is
or
brought to you by
103.1theticket.com.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing was you can always go to the GSS.com, which is our website, The Gunsmith Show, and you can get right on there and listen to the shows in the 13-minute segments.
Yep.
Any date, time you want for years. It goes back for years. So, and thank you to Mary for doing that for us. She keeps our website up and running. So this first segment of the show is brought to you by Diamond Jim's Tire and Auto Service Center. They're right on Dort Highway in Burton, Michigan. They always sponsor the show, and they're great people. Help me just about every single week. They're helping me with something.
You know, I just told my father-in-law about him. He needs new tires on his truck. I said, it's like those old commercials where, you know, why is it worth driving somewhere to get your truck?
Yeah.
Well, it's worth driving here to Diamond Jim's to save the amount of money.
And honestly, a place where you walk in the door and they remember your name and they take care of you.
And there's coffee.
It's a good, yeah, and there's always coffee. They fixed up
all of our cars great ways. We're happy to have our cars running great.
Even our Tommy's Heart trailer and everything for our foundation. New tires, new rims. You can reach them at 810-743-4210. And you can also link right on if you're on our website, thegss.com, you look on the left side, you go down and you link right to them right there. So they don't have a big website or anything. You just call them, tell them what you want, and they get it for you.
Yep.
Now, this segment of the show, we are going to talk about one of our, we'll call it a niche favorite. And it's one of the guns that has the oh my God factor like mad. Because when people see it, they're like, oh my God, what is that? And it's like, what, have you never watched Last Action Hero? And it's like, no, what's Last Action Hero? Then you smack them in the head with it and they straighten them out and say, get a life. Go watch Last Action Hero, one of the finest movies ever made. So we're talking about the Desert Eagle.
Nope.
in 50 AE. The 50 AE is talking about the
50 AE.
I know. But I picture a Desert Eagle every time I say the word 50 AE, because
it's synonymous with it now, but it didn't used to be.
Well, it was nothing 30 years ago, you know, roughly.
40
years ago, whatever. 40,
you're dating yourself.
Time flies when you're having fun, son. That's all I can say. But it's always been a pretty awesome caliber. So way back in 1988, this thing was developed. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was developed by Action Arms with the intent to create a new powerful cartridge to be used in semi-auto handguns.
Well, you can check that off the list. It's successful.
So I didn't realize until I was doing more research, anything, a handgun over 50 caliber, .500 caliber, is considered a destructive device by the ATF. I didn't know that.
What do they know? I mean,
but again, who's shooting anything bigger than this?
ATF. We got to come up with some new synonyms or whatever for ATF, like always talking funky or something. I don't know.
But think
are
about
they for real?
Back in 88, what guns, you know, you had all those old guns and ammos and stuff. So you probably had the guns and ammo when it came out, right?
It was like 50 caliber. Yeah. What's that? You know, so and then they wanted to make the 50 caliber 1911s too, that were the 50 GIs.
I remember that.
Thought for sure that would take off. I was waiting for Glock to come out with that, and they never did.
There's got to be a conversion for it.
I don't know.
That'd be a interesting.
Pretty hollow tube.
that's a very thin piece of steel. But back then,
for cutting off those cigars that, you know, they smoke in the spaghetti westerns.
Oh yeah,
you know. But anyways,
so in the '80s though, what was there to handle this gun? To handle this round?
Well, you know, up until that time, the auto mag was the biggest gun out there, you know, and that was and this dwarfs it.
And then the Wildy.
Well, yeah, you know? And the .445 Wildcat and all that, you know, all that crazy stuff.
The contenders had the big stuff in it.
Yeah, you could get 45-70 barrels for contenders, you know.
But for a semi-auto handgun,
no, there's nothing like it.
You were limited to Wildies or auto mags,
you know, and
maybe
people,
a Kunin at the time.
Yeah, Kunin was just .357.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But something that took a magnum cartridge
and a magazine.
Yeah,
very limited. You know, and even back then, 44 magnums were just revolvers. Except for the Ruger 44 carbine.
True.
That was the semi-automatic 44 Magnum. And a big thing way back then was
Universal made those Vulcan pump action 44s.
And they also made, you know, IMI or IWI made the timber carbines, they were called. They were .357 Magnum
Timberwolves.
Pumps. Timberwolves.
That's
yeah.
Right. Yep.
And those were fabulous. I used to be a .357 nut. I love .357s. Handguns, rifles, when they came out with that pump, I wanted one, then I held one and went, that doesn't do much for me. And it was a lot of money, so I didn't pursue it. You know, I just never got one. And then they kind of fizzled. But where I desperately failed was when I didn't, and I'll talk about my failures. I'm open and honest here. Jacob? No, I'm just kidding. You're not my failure.
Thanks.
Sure thing, son. One of the biggest things I screwed up was when Ruger came out with the 44,
the Deerfield carbine magazine.
I should have bought like 16 or 18 of them, and I didn't. And I'm stupid for that, you know. And I sold my 44 carbines. Stupid for that. I should have kept those things.
I'm not selling my 44 carbine.
No, you know. And then our friend Tim Legender would take 30 carbines and turn them into 45 Winchester magnums. That goes way back into the early 80s.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. But it wasn't a 50 AE.
No, not that 50 caliber.
So the 50 AE is pretty unique.
You know, kind of the line baws, right? Line baw was doing revolvers. Were they doing that back then?
They were just big, mean revolvers. Five-shot, custom-made Bowens, line baws. And they were hot topics, but they were all built on super Blackhawk frames.
Okay.
And then North American Arms, you know, came out with, you know, the BFRs, and it changed everything. You know, all of a sudden.
Yeah, now it's Magnum Research doing those.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And which is the same company that owns Desert Eagle.
Correct.
Right. So Minnesota based now. So all good. So, but it's been a pretty interesting thing seeing the 50AE over the past 40 years and what, or almost 40 years, and how it's, you know, modified and changed the world we live in a little bit.
Well, and it was,
it's a performer.
It's been chambered so far in, yes, the Desert Eagle.
Yes.
It was in the Automag 5.
Yeah. Very few made.
Yeah. Very which few those made. Are interesting because they had 30 carbines, like the Automag 4s.
They're big guns.
I mean, 22 Magnums. These are big stainless steel.
You need to be like 7 foot tall and a piano player with huge long fingers to wrap your fingers around that grip.
But it's
a big gun.
The Grizzlies. I forgot about the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
LAR Grizzlies.
I got a buddy that's got a Grizzly. He loves it. He talks about it all the time. He's got it in 45 Winchester Magnum, though. Which is mild compared to a...
But if you were a 45 shooter, that makes sense because of the bullets.
Yeah, 452s, boom. Or so, 451s or 452s, you got them all day long.
BFRs, Freedom Arms revolvers, and even Bond Arms at some point have chambered single-shot Derringers in 50 AE.
Yeah.
No thanks.
I would not want to pull the trigger on a Derringer in this. I honestly, I mean, I love my 50 AE, and I love shooting them, but it is, you got to be mentally prepared. Because it, you know, we shot it out of the bog last fall.
Yeah.
Which was kind of neat.
I'll talk a little more about it, but I think the 44 had more recoil than the 50.
Well, I did pretty mild loads, though. Yeah. I mean, because I've done an exact, you're going to talk about loads here in a minute, and I'm like, yep, that's exactly how I load it. So, but, you know, Hornady makes that 300 XTP round, which is just a wonderful performer.
Right.
And that's those XTPs. I love them. I see what it does to deer, and that 50, it's the one they put in the 12 gauge slugs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it works. So, but muzzle velocity running, here's the crazy part, 1475 feet per second, but hitting with 1449, it's like getting hit with a freight train of energy.
Yeah.
And that's muzzle. So if you're shooting a deer out to 50 yards or so, you're doing great. But even at 100 yards, it's hitting with 795 foot-pounds of energy, which is 44 Magnum energy,
yeah.
You know, at muzzle. So, or just a little bit past the muzzle. But it's pretty cool. So
most of the time, you're going to find the ammo in a box of 20.
Yeah.
And just so you know how much powder, just so you can take the correlation of how big this is.
Yeah.
I went to Hogden, did their little reloading data. 29 grains of H110 powder.
Yeah.
Gets you 1,200 feet per second.
Which is
a light load.
That's a mild load.
357 Magnum only takes 15 grains of powder.
Right.
So it's double the powder of a 357 Magnum.
And I see what you've written
down. 9mm only takes 5 grains of powder.
Yeah, no, and that's, like you said, some powders. Because you don't want to put 5 grains of H110 in a 9mm because it would not be good. But the 50AE is a powerhouse. If you're unfamiliar with it, just Google 50AE. You'll be impressed.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back with more of the Gunsmith Show in just a minute. We got a lot more to talk about today on the Gunsmith Show, June 20th.